It's after the 12 o'clock hour. You hear the dinner bell. It's time for the lunch rush. We go through the top stories trending nationally in the sports world and what that looks like. And we'll get to the... We got a little tuner under there, too, on Hyle. The big story that I want to hit today is... Christmas Day, we've got interesting games going on, specifically for the Denver Nuggets. Now, the teams are listed here. We don't have the actual teams on the schedule, or like schedule listed. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? Doesn't it just make you want to go out to lunch on a patio somewhere, get a beer with an orange slice in it or something? Yeah, that's good.
A little tropical.
It's a little tropical. A little vacation-y. But sometimes when you go away to lunch, if you pick the right place, it's a vacation every time. There's a live read for you, some restaurant. Give us a call. Golden State's going to be playing Memphis. That'll be fun. Dallas going to be playing the Los Angeles Lakers, the Nuggets and the Suns, the Knicks and the Sixers, the Celtics and the Bucks. That's good, man. They hit the mark this time around with Christmas. The Nuggets and the Suns finally getting some love. So does that mean the Denver Nuggets are starting to get some respect nationally? The Joker's getting respect nationally, and we're putting them on primetime? Now, it's going to be the late one. I'm told I don't have the actual timing yet. Do you? Like the times of the games?
I don't think so, but they usually get the later games because we're where we are geographically.
Which, it's fine. I mean, our Christmas is going to be nuts this year.
Oh, yeah, we got NFL football and then basketball.
Yeah, Broncos are playing the Rams. And then you have...
The Dolphins play Christmas Day, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're going to just be... But the Dolphins will probably be out of the playoff situation
by then, though. No. We won't get into that.
I want to talk more about the national impact on this Christmas game for the Nuggets and the Broncos, really. I mean, is Colorado finally kind of being taken seriously here with some of these pro teams, the power of Russell Wilson, and a two-time MVP? All right. The college football scene... We've got the preseason rankings came out. Oh, big surprise on hell.
Was
I mean, on gel or on hell? On gel. Some team that rhymes with Crimson.
Did they wear a crimson?
They do. They're number one in the coaches' poll last week, and now they're number one in the AP poll as well. The media's AP, and they're number one in on gel's heart as well. Ohio State next. Then Georgia, Clemson at 4, Notre Dame at 5, Texas A&M at 6, Michigan at 7. Ooh, that won't last for long. Not when they go up against the Rams week one. That's going to drop them right the hell back down. Utah at 8, Baylor at 9, Oklahoma at 10, Oregon at 11. Oregon needs to have a monster season, don't they? Number 12 is NC State. Then USC at 13, Oklahoma State at 14, I'll go through 15. Miami Hurricanes there. So there you go. How do you feel? Any issues with that? Last year was a rebuilding year for you guys, though, Angel.
It was.
I mean, that's what Saban said. You just go have the
it
best.
It really was. From the perspective of a Bama fan, it was.
But
it was a young team.
But you went to the. Didn't you go to the national championship and lost?
Yeah.
That's a rebuilding
won the
year. Yeah, you won the... Oh, my gosh.
Probably going to have the 1 and 2 picks this year.
Imagine if, like, Sean McVay comes out and says, last year was a rebuilding year for us, and we won the Super Bowl. People
would
be like...
it's different. We got to the game and lost.
That's true.
Like, our standards are just...
That win championship, win it all, or it's a failed season.
Pretty much.
I mean, it's probably about right. That's probably the expectations in Alabama, no question.
I will say, I think Clemson's a little too high on that list.
What did I say they were? Four? Yeah. A little too high?
A little too high.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to go down a bit.
Yeah. Hard to disagree with you there. You brought this story to my attention. I missed this. Deshaun Watson kind of made like a public apology last week. He said, I want to say... According to ESPN, quote, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all of the women that I have impacted in this situation. Now, this interview aired on a Cleveland local news station. He went on to talk about the decisions that I made in my life. He said, quote, the decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back. He said on the Browns pregame show. But I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that I am a true person of character
and I'm going to keep pushing forward. That's an interesting statement, though. The decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back. I mean, in one hand, that could be like, I shouldn't have gone there in the first place. We have our own masseuse. We have our own situation here. I shouldn't have been going there. But then, of course, on the other side, you're like, well, then what did you do? I mean, if you say you want that back, but you're also saying you didn't do anything wrong, then why would you want that back necessarily? I mean, again, other than just going there.
I wonder if it's actually him saying this or if this is like, hey, just Sean, you need to read this note card word for word to keep you out of trouble.
Yeah.
Because you saw the rumors over the weekend that it looks like a one-year suspension is coming.
It looks like that's what's going to happen. I did read another story, too, that Deshaun would accept an 8-game suspension. I'm like, you're going to accept whatever they give you, man. This is – it's probably – I mean, NFLPA might fight on his behalf. In fact, I would imagine they would. But the NFL owners want a year. And a year to indefinite. This just – I know the bigger issue is Deshaun's a creep. All this other stuff. But why would you do this if you're Cleveland? I mean, we all talked about Deshaun Watson. I mean, your first stint on the show, I think while you were still in school, was when we were starting to get more and more news about this thing.
Yeah, I mean, he was considered for the Broncos position at one
point. Right, we talked about him for the
Dolphins
Broncos
for months on end.
That was a big one, right? That was one of the – probably had the most – kind of validity to it as far as stories go.
Right, and it makes you question what – I mean, Cleveland has a lot of questions.
But what did they know?
You had a Baker Mayfield, a playoff quarterback that you probably could have built around, and no, we're going to give all this money to Deshaun Watson, who, you know, was dealing with this stuff. You could have traded for him and give him some small contract and then see what happens. But that much money up front, that much guaranteed.
And that's what the owners are mad about. Because it's a bad look for the NFL.
It's not. It sets a bad precedent.
Yeah.
And the NFL is trying to set their own precedent with the punishment.
Yeah, and then they come in and give them all this guaranteed money. Here, help this. This will help out with your settlements.
Because that sets the market value again.
Right. And so for several reasons, it's like, wait, you're resetting the market value for this guy? And that's what now we have to try to match what you're doing with this guy? And he's probably not going to play for a while. I don't know. I mean, the NFL wants blood on this. They want to make an we can argue whether you agree or disagree with how the NFL does things. I disagree with how they do things. No question about it. It doesn't mean I think Deshaun Watson should get off scot-free. But this is what's tough about it, is Roger Goodell's like, I dream of Genie. You get this suspension. You get a 4-game. You get a 5-game. You get an 8-game. You get a 3-game. Every suspension that he makes says that this is the amount worthy of this crime, so to speak. This is what your crime will yield. Okay, you maybe took air out of a football, you're getting 4 games. You maybe, probably, assaulted these women, 24 of them, and of course a bunch of them settled. You get 6 games. But then, Ray Rice, okay, looks like you might have knocked her out, but I can't prove it, but it looks like you did, so you're going to get 2 games. Oh, you did actually knock her out. Wait, you didn't think he knocked her out in the first place? Then why was she on the ground, and why did you suspend him? So that's what I'm saying. It needs to be black and white, and I know it's impossible for some people to go there, but if you're the NFL, it should be, and I've said this, sound like a broken record, it should be if the court of law, either I throw the book at you hardcore, or I don't at all.
And if it's, as they say, the most egregious, explicit thing that any player has ever done, then you have to throw the book at him and set that precedent so everyone else in the league knows, okay, that's how far you can go.
And that's the problem is, and I'm not going to put you in this situation, but ask yourself, what is worse? What Ray Rice did to his fiance at the time?
Yes.
He knocked her out. What's worse? What Ray Rice did? Or what Deshaun Watson allegedly did.
It's different because, one, you have evidence of.
True. That's the thing. And that's why this is so difficult, because you are saying one of those is worse. You originally said what Ray Rice did was not that big of a deal. You're going to get 2 games for that. Well, why? Didn't you prove that I hit her? No, but we're assuming you did. So you're assuming I hit her, but you're only giving me 2 games. That's why I think it should be black and white. If If no charges are filed or pressed, the court of law does not find you guilty. You're able to walk amongst the free citizens with no ankle bracelets or anything like that. You are a free man 100%. Then I feel like the NFL years ago should have said, we then go, is he able to still work his job? And I know some people disagree with that. But you take away the Roger Goodell judge, jury, and executioner thing, and it's like, nah, this is just the way we do it. Now, if he was found guilty and charges were pressed, sorry, you can't play football this year. And that's it. But you just continue to move the goalposts back and forth of what's worse, Tom Brady taking air out of a football, Sean Payton heading up guys, but what, Bountygate? Spygate? Like, those were all serious offenses within the NFL. And that's what when I see stuff like this, again, it makes it so unbearable to watch how the NFL does their business as far as suspending players. It's a tough spot to be in. I would not want to be Roger Goodell on this.
No, and the court of public opinion is going to say a lot about
their decision. No question about it. Because you're not going
to
win.
Like, Jacksonville fans were letting their opinions known to Deshaun.
About how
they were chanting some very explicit things.
It's not going to be a good look if he plays this year. I don't know when it'll ever be a good look. I mean, we're talking about a year. Does a year do it? I mean, there are some people that want him out of the NFL for good. And there are others, and I'm not even calling these guys scumbags. These are guys that just look at it and say, he wasn't found guilty. He wasn't found guilty for these crimes that he allegedly committed. He settled with most. He shouldn't be suspended at all. And are those people wrong and sexist for viewing it that way? They might be. I don't know that. But that view itself, in and of itself, doesn't necessarily make you this sexist, terrible person. It makes you look at the situation and go, it should be black and white. Because you do worry that then anytime somebody wants to go after a guy or a gal in sports, that they can allege a bunch of things, go to court. And again, this was 24 women, so it is an extreme. But that's why you do worry. There are those that do worry about suspending a player for a year when there's no proof of what he did, other than he said, she said, and a lot of she saids. So this is an extreme case, but that's where some worry about this. The devil's advocate here says that if we just go off of what anybody says, and even though this ended up getting settled and no charges were filed and he does not have anything on his record, that's a dangerous precedent to set. So I viewed this as they screwed up so long ago that there's no changing it, no fixing it. And now you have to suspend him for a year. You have to.
A massive overcorrection.
It is. And that's what makes this situation so bad. And I knew this, Angel. I knew this when the Ray Rice thing happened. And I always reference that one because that showed you right there. Now, can people change and get better? Sure. Can Roger Goodell get better and learn? But at one point, you saw a video of a man, Ray Rice, dragging his fiance out of an elevator. You assumed he did it to her. Otherwise, why would he get two games? It's not illegal to drag an unconscious person out of an elevator. She could have been drunk. She could have fell. She could have been sick. She could have been a lot of things. But they just assumed that he hit her. And then I go to, so you think he hit her, knocked her out, but you only gave him two games. Then you see the video, which proves that he hit her. Then you throw the book at him. That, from that point on, and then a bunch of stuff came after that, I knew right then, you're screwed. You cannot, you don't know how to suspend people. You're just throwing them out there, hoping that'll work. Man, two games will probably be enough, right? Dude, you think he knocked her out, man. He should be in jail. She didn't press charges, though. So that's why if you're in the NFL, your defense should have been he's allowed to be a free citizen. He's allowed to work a job. If he can make a team and a team wants him, we can't stop it. Or he physically assaulted this woman. He's out until he can prove otherwise. Like down the road, maybe he comes back a year or two later and appeals. That right then, and there was other cases before and after that, sure, but that should have been the case where the NFL says they make their statement. We either don't act if legally they didn't act, or we act aggressively. And the NFL didn't. They screwed it up. And since that point, I don't know that they'll ever get it right. 20 minutes after the hour, when we come back, Nathaniel Hackett has a philosophy. And according to the Denver Post's Sean Keeler, who we had on Friday, said that if this works, if his practice and training camp philosophy works, he could be a man that revolutionizes the way coaches hold practice in the NFL. How about that, Broncos fans? You got a new shiny owner and a bunch of great people on board with him. You got a fairly new shiny general manager. You got a new shiny quarterback. And you might just have a revolutionary as far as head coaches go in the National Football League. 20 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you think that, or would you be upset if Russell Wilson doesn't play a snap in this preseason? We'll talk about that and more coming up. Also, Brian Howell of Buff Zone will join me to talk a little Colorado Buffaloes. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Minutes after the hour. I didn't put this story in our Lunch Rush segment because it was really bizarre. If you are a Twitter person, you saw Aqib Talib was trending over the weekend, and not in a really positive way. Well, according to CBSSports.com, Aqib Talib's brother, and I believe it's pronounced Yaqib, wanted for murder following shooting at a youth football game. But the Twitter, did you see the Twitter trends, Angel? I mean, it was, and again, this is why you cannot use Twitter as your news source solely, but there was people, I mean, a vast contingency of people on Twitter under Aqib Talib's tag saying that he had something to do with this. And now again, I don't know the situation right now.
I just saw this from TMZ Sports. His brother is wanted by law enforcement for murder, is planning to turn himself into authorities within the next hour.
Hmm. So was Aqib there? I mean, because again, you get on there and you see him going at it with a coach, and then, I don't know, there's this weird video of, it's a very strange video, man. According to CBS, upon arrival, officers were notified of a disagreement among coaching staff and the officiating crew. During the disagreement, the opposing coaching staff were involved in a physical altercation, and one of the individuals involved in the altercation discharged a firearm, striking one adult male. The victim was transported to a local hospital for treatment, where he was later pronounced deceased. Now, okay, here it is. Aqib Talib was in attendance. He was there when the shooting occurred. His attorney released this statement. Aqib was present when this unfortunate incident occurred and is very distraught and devastated over this terrible loss of life. His lawyer went on, quote, he would like to convey his condolences to the family of the victim and to everyone who witnessed this unfortunate tragedy. So at least what we know right now, we don't believe Aqib was involved. He was there, but that's what we know at this point. And Angel just saying that TMZ reporting moments ago that Yaqib, the brother of Aqib Talib, is turning himself in.
Yeah, I got an update there from Mike Kliss saying he has turned himself in.
So he has turned himself in. So what we know at this point was that it was him. But this is why, dude, and again, this is a terrible situation. I mean, a youth freaking football game? Are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness. I don't even know how to talk about this. But this is where you also got to be careful, because Twitter was accusing Aqib of this. I looked over at my wife and I said, do you remember Aqib Tlaib? And she, you know, she's kind of a Broncos fan. She said, yeah. And I said, of course, she goes, isn't that the guy that accidentally shot himself at a park? And people go to Twitter on this and just assume that Aqib had something to do with it because it's his brother. I'm not saying that it's not a rational assumption to make, but when you start posting it as fact and it's the trend on social media, then it gets dangerous. Now, again, I don't know. The full story will be coming out, as now he is, looks like the brother is in custody, and I'm sure we'll hear more of it. But Aqib was there. And what, his history, Aqib Tlaib's history, was he was at a park with friends and stuff and had a gun and it discharged and kind of shot himself, right? And then he got a few games from that. That story was weird because you thought there was more to it than that. But then it really came out that there was nothing else, at least from their findings, that I don't know, did he accidentally, was he getting ready to pull it out and show people and then pew, there it goes? I don't know. But it's, again, this is why social media can be a dangerous place. You got to be careful. There was obviously something to this story, but the assumption was that Aqib had something to do with it. Now, again, this is why you do your best to find the trusted resources to confirm or deny rumors. I'm not saying it's not a thought that shouldn't enter your brain. It doesn't make you a terrible person if you thought, wow, I wonder if Aqib was involved. You might not know him. Is he that kind of a guy that could get involved in something like this? I don't know. But an altercation broke out, and allegedly that's when Aqib Tlaib allegedly pulled out his firearm and shot the victim. And Angel telling us most reports do indicate from trusted reporters and Mike Kliss that he has turned himself in. So I guess more from that story will come along, and we'll keep our eyes out for it. 12:30 the time. We're going to catch up with the Buff Zone's Brian Howell. The Buffs had a scrimmage over the weekend. Everybody had a scrimmage over the weekend, it seems like. How is the quarterback battle shaping up? And what are some of the things that sticks out to Brian? And again, like, are you excited about the Buffs? Like, is anybody excited about the Buffs at all this season? I don't know if it's the Pac-12 stuff. It's just last year was a rough year for Carl Durrell and company. But there just doesn't seem to be the buzz. I'm not sure. Or is the Jay Norvell, Russell Wilson, Broncos stuff, all of that just overshadowing, Air Force overshadowing all that the Buffs are putting together this offseason? 12:31 the time. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carbacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Just 35 minutes after 12 o'clock. How's that quarterback battle shaping up south of us in Boulder? Talking to us now about it, Brian Howell of BuffZone.com. Brian, my man, is our Buffs insider. This was an interesting scrimmage, too, Brian, to talk about a little bit, because JT Schrout, isn't this right around the time last season where he gets hurt and ultimately misses the season?
Yeah, it was 1 year ago yesterday.
Wow.
So it was, you know, Saturday was essentially the 1 year anniversary. He was one day shy of that. And he was able to get through that scrimmage. So I think that was, Coach Durrell said that was kind of a big mental hurdle for him to get through that. And, you know, to see him run around, and you know, we actually got to go, you know, they let the beat writers come in and watch on Saturday, and to be able to see him run around and do some things, that was nice.
So, Brian, what did you see? And obviously, mentally, that was huge for JT, just to get over that and kind of put that behind him, thinking that's probably going to be in the back of his mind. But what did you see? Let's talk about the quarterbacks first. Looking at this battle, I think a lot of Buffs fans are very eager to see who's really going to take an obvious leap forward. What are your thoughts of what you did get to see and then, of course, what you got to hear afterward?
Yeah, you know, what we hear is that it's still an ongoing battle, it's still neck and neck, and, you know, I don't want to read too much into one scrimmage because there's six other days of practice or five other days of practice, but might change things. But what I saw was JT looked really good. You know, to me, he looked like the best quarterback on this roster. Just the way he throws the ball. You know, he doesn't have the wheels and the scrambling ability that Brandon Lewis does. But, I mean, he throws a nice ball. And, he had about a 30-yard touchdown pass to tight end Brady Russell that Russell afterwards was talking about. Hey, that's impeccable timing, the way they worked together on that play. And it was just a pretty ball. To me, he looks like the better quarterback, at least on that day that we saw.
That's interesting too, because again, you know, I think Brian, I think you even told us to start the start camp and everything, you know, and rightfully so. It's probably Brendan's job to lose, but that doesn't mean anything necessarily because it is an open competition. So maybe, you know, in your mind right now, and without taking too much from a scrimmage, it might seem like perhaps JT Shrout has taken a step forward and maybe ahead in this race, at least at this time.
Yeah, you know, and I thought a year ago at this time, before he got injured, that it was going to be JT. And some people that got to see more practice than I did, they thought the same thing. And so not saying Brendan got the job by default. He might have won it. But, you know, JT's a guy that he's a very talented quarterback. And, you know, I think that he's very capable of winning this job. And I still very much think it's a competition, but I would not be surprised at all if it's JT Shrout. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Brendan Lewis on opening day, because I don't really know what the coaches are thinking, but based on what I see and kind of what I hear from people that are watching practice, it sounds like JT's got the upper hand right now.
Now, Brian, refresh my memory, but you said it a year ago yesterday was when the injury went down for JT. What was the trajectory like in the quarterback competition at that point? Was JT working himself in at that moment where you felt like maybe he was going to be the starter, or was it still Brendan Lewis at that stage before he got hurt?
Yeah, it was really like it is now. The narrative was it's neck and neck. These guys are competing every day. But, you know, media doesn't get to watch every day. But when I talked to people that did watch, there were some people that thought it was going to be JT Shrout. That's just the way he was playing. He looked a lot better. I don't remember exactly how much of the scrimmage we got to see last year. But, you know, he throws a nice ball. And I remember spring ball of 21 when he had just gotten here, throwing a couple passes in a practice. Get to see him, and wow, those are NFL-type passes there that he throws. So I think that his throwing ability is really top-notch. I think that he could definitely play it.
Talking to Brian Howell of Buff Zone, our CU Buffs insider. Brian, what else kind of sticks out to you thus far? You know, I've got my list as far as local teams that we cover, and unfortunately, I'm not so sure what CU can do this year. You know, I'm not extremely optimistic about a bowl type season, but believe it or not, Brian, you know this. I've been wrong a lot before. What leads you to believe, or maybe not believe, that this will or won't be a bowl season for CU?
Well, I'm like you in that I have a hard time believing it's going to be a bowl season, but, you know, when you're around the team a lot, the message coming out is it's always positive this time of year. I get that. And there is a lot of talk of the camaraderie on this team and how they've really come together, campers and all the negativity in the program. They've kind of all together. They really like their young depth. And, you know, and when you're around it, you hear it every day. It sort of sneaks in your brain a little bit, and you think, yeah, maybe they will be better. And maybe this team can reach a bowl game. So I don't put it out of the realm of possibility. I think that they get some breaks, and if the quarterback, whoever it is, plays really good football, they can be in a bowl game. But I think right now it's really hard to project that.
Yeah, and I think that's the tough part is because, you know, for the most part, the lasting image kind of with this offense was, you know, and they did get better, you know, late in the season. Brendan Lewis got a little bit better late in the season, but for the most part, you know, you worried mightily about that offense. Talk to us about this guy, Brian, Alex Fontenot, named to the Earl Campbell Tyler Rose Award watch list. This is a guy that's kind of had an interesting career with Colorado. Kind of, to me, burst on the scene for a moment, then took a back seat, now kind of stepping back up into the limelight.
Yeah, and he's one of the, it's interesting because it always seems like there's been somebody ahead of him or that they're trying to get somebody ahead of him, you know? He's just one of those guys. I mean, for the first 2 years of his career, he was behind Philip Lindsay. If you can believe that's how long he's been around. I mean, Philip feels like he's been gone forever now. But he was behind Philip Lindsay and then Trayvon McMillan, who was here for 1 year. And then he gets this shot, and it looks pretty good. Then he gets injured, and Jarrett Broussard for 2 years. And it just feels like he's always fighting to be that guy, and that he's never gotten the respect of being the guy. And I think he's still got to go out and prove that. But I like him. I think he's a talented back. I think that he can, you know, definitely be a guy that pushes for 1,000 yards and leads the back.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone, kind of cutting in and out there, Brian, but I think we have you for the most part, finishing up that thought. On the scrimmage, what else kind of stood out to you? Something that, you know, our listeners should be aware of on the offensive side, the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, talented receivers. There's a lot of youth and talent at the receiver position, and you know, Brady Russell at tight end looks really good. And so I think that there's some better weapons in the passing game this year. And if they're going to throw it around a little bit more, I think they're going to have the ability to throw it around more than we saw last year.
Well, I'll be curious to see how that one works out, my man. Brian, appreciate you as always. What are you working on that we can check out at Buff Zone in the next day or two?
Yeah, feature on Brady Russell, who is that six-year senior, former walk-on from up in Fort Collins. And, you know, he's a guy that he's been a leader on this team and could be one of the top weapons on the offense. So a great guy, and I'll feature on him this week.
Plus a great name, too. My goodness. Wow, that's a great first name,
sure.
Anyway. Brian, my man, appreciate you as always, and we'll look to catch up with you as another week plays out, and we'll see. Maybe we'll know a little bit more about this quarterback battle, too, because I know that's the big one. That's what people are really focused on with this Buffs team right now, so we'll be curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I know we're all looking forward to that. We want an answer, right? We want it today, and we're not going to get it. Hopefully he'll soon.
Yeah, probably be a little bit. You're right, my friend. Brian, appreciate you. There he is, Brian Howell of CUBuffZone.com, or just BuffZone.com, rather. I'm interested in the quarterback battle. I like Brady Russell. Alex Fontenot was a good running back. He had his moments and then kind of took that step back, we know. I'm just not excited about Colorado.
Wonder, what does year two Ralphie look like?
Yeah, that's true. That's another one. Probably getting a little bigger.
Yeah.
Probably a little meaner, you know, getting ready for that run. Maybe will she be able to do the full run this year? Because they had to cut her off, like, what, at the 50 or so?
Yeah, she wasn't quite ready to go the full length of the field just yet.
Yeah, that's probably the bigger question. I should have asked Brian that. We got MJ, Mark Johnson, on the show Wednesday. That would be a great question, because Mark is also a nature guy. So he would be able to talk to us about Buffalo and their progression and how they age. I want to see that Buffalo run. Okay, so you're a big-time college sports guy. You're from that scene. Where do you put the what is it called? The running of Ralph? What is it?
Ralphie Run.
Ralphie Run. Okay, great. Where do you put that in terms of one of the coolest college football traditions?
I'd say in terms of live mascots,
yeah,
it's definitely up there. I've only seen it once, or no, twice, but it's definitely fun. The way the crowd just gets into
it's
it,
so
they
cool.
Just they love that Buffalo so much, and the hype, and you got the little South Park characters talking about her, and it's just it's fun to see them chase him down and into the little trailer that they have. So
it's scary.
It's definitely,
man,
up there.
Is it top five?
It's up top. It's top five for sure.
Of all, or just live
for
mascots?
Live mascots.
So not, where would you put it overall? Top 10?
Sure. It's definitely a unique experience. You don't really, you see, horses or stuff, but, a buffalo like that is pretty cool.
The there's several teams that have the Falcon, too. That's cool. Air Force has that.
Well, birds aren't real.
Oh, yeah, and your other favorite school has that too, right?
Yeah. they can't decide on their mascot, so.
I just love it. I think it's so cool. I'm a big nature guy. I like buffalo, although they're actually bison. That's we got to get that right. They should be the CU bison if we were doing it correctly, but it is what it is. I still love it. 12:45 the time. We're going to take a short break. Nathaniel Hackett, perhaps a revolutionary in all of the National Football League, if he can prove that his philosophy, his strategy works, we'll do that. Plus, more recap. I want to get into some recap of the first preseason game for the Broncos coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Take it from a guy that played the game. Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard, weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Gonna throw for it. Rush took a big shot. It's intercepted. Picked off by the Broncos. Downs brings some pressure. Johnson takes the shot. And able to complete down the sideline. What a grab. He goes right back to Brandon Johnson. Josh wants to throw for it. Up and caught. Touchdown. Broncos. Seth Williams.
First down 10. Johnson got a nice pocket.
Enzo looking for it. And it is caught. Touchdown. Kendall Hinton.
Well, Broncos win 17-7 over the Cowboys on Saturday in that first preseason game. Kendall Hinton, that's cool. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame, Angel, so you got, yeah, Susan and Cheryl like a receiver turned quarterback back to receiver. Nobody ever wants to see that dude play quarterback again. But you respected him so much for doing it and being just thrown to the wolves, knowing that could probably impact his career negatively if he struggled, which he did. He still got an opportunity for the Broncos, though. Three receptions, 53 yards, and a touchdown for him. Let's kind of go down the list here. Josh Johnson gets the start at quarterback. He's been on half the teams in the NFL, hasn't he? Just like his attitude, though.
Is he the new Fitzpatrick?
I think he is, man. I guess he's got like some business that he's ready to kind of really get going in. I don't know if it's like video games or entertainment or something like that, but he's kind of getting rolling with this. I don't know. I heard it briefly in the broadcast. Nine News' broadcast was a little interesting at times. But he's just, everything you hear about him is that he's a really good dude, and he just loves the fact that he's still playing football, and he's going to keep riding this thing out for as long as he possibly can. 16 of 23, 172 yards, two touchdowns. Now, Brett Rippon wasn't bad either. 8 of 18, 113 yards. He almost threw a pick. He struggled early, but then he kind of rounded it out and was driving this team down the field. Not bad. Will the Broncos keep two quarterbacks? If they don't, then it's Josh Johnson's going to be the backup, which makes sense. Poor Rippon's been trying to be a part of this thing for a while. That's a guy from Boise State that I thought would absolutely make the transition and be a starter someday. But think that time is changing for him. He could probably still go be a backup somewhere. Let's take the rushing side of things. I mean, these are all guys. Mike Boone was really the only one you're going to see a lot of in the season. Max Borgie, the local kid, you were rooting for him, but 39 yards. They averaged a yard and a half per carry. Nathaniel Hackett was not happy with the run game. I don't know, Angel, what do we have of Hackett? Here, just him kind of talking about the preseason. Let's hear from him.
That was really fun to be part of right there. I think everybody enjoyed that. We all get after it nonstop, right? Every day we're busting our butts. We're working so hard. And then when you're able to go out there and execute and do some real good stuff, I mean, how great does that feel?
Yeah.
That is awesome. That's a credit to all you guys. The guys supporting on the sideline, I thought that was great. Couple things. We won the turnover battle. We were plus one. That's a big way to win a game. Petrie, Hinton had 3 for 53 and a tug. Look at Virgil. Holy. He had 42. Seth Williams with the tug down tight in the tight end. Sometimes you just got to make a play. And that was one man versus another man. He went up and he snatched that thing up. That was absolutely
big. So.
How about Josh Johnson, 120 rating? Aaron Browning, three tackles, a sack, and a pass breakup. RFP with seven tackles and a pass breakup. Not only did the defense pitch a shutout in the first half, third down, 5 of 16. Get up to the defense. That's awesome. fun to be out there with you guys. I can't tell you that enough. I mean, all you guys fighting for each other. We got new guys that are running the rock, all kinds of good stuff. But there's still a lot more to improve on. Let's make sure we understand that. A lot more to improve on. A lot of great stuff to coach off of. So let's just continually get better.
Man, winning's a habit. Everything we do, got to be surrounded by that, man. Let's go. Broncos on three. One, two, three.
Broncos. I love that. Now, I do want to point out that that was all great. That was the fluff. He did call out the rushing attack, you know, in his post game. He wasn't happy about it either. So that's what I like. Can you be both guys? Because I think both guys are going to win. I think, can you be a player coach that's doing that, that's going detailed through the stats list and bringing up the guys that rocked, but you can also be critical? And I think that that's going to be Nathaniel Hackett. Is his philosophy going to work? Lighter practices, not as much contact, not as much hitting. I mean, so far, so good. You roughed up the Cowboys in the practice day, and you roughed up the Cowboys. And again, these are all benchers on both sides. But there was one team that looked prepared, and there was one team that didn't look prepared at all. And their head coach has been around the block for a while. So you tell me. I mean, seems like the players said, hey, we're going to reward our coach. They did say this. We're going to reward our coach for going easy on us in practice. We're going to reward him by going to the wall during the game.
Oh, it's definitely interesting. He comes from that Shanahan coaching tree, doesn't he?
Yeah, yes, he does, like way back, right? And then, of course, Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, like he has kind of a similar philosophy. I mean, he's kind of a player's coach. I mean, I don't know if he's as like open about it as Nathaniel Hackett is. And again, we don't see it on a daily basis. But LaFleur has some different styles in practice that I think Hackett is exploring. You know, they don't like the 7-on-7s necessarily, and they don't believe really beating your guys up that are already proven. So far, so good on this. When we come back, we'll get to today in the National Football League. My Zvi Brewing Whole Show Player of the Week. We'll throw that out. My very first football player ever since we started doing this award, because we started it like February. So there you go. We got a lot to talk about. The final hour coming up next. It's the Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.